John, I'm only dancing by Wonky Elk. John hadn't known that you could fall in love with someone via the medium of consensual balcony flinging, but after this fact had been forcibly drawn to his attention, he just popped it right down on his ever-growing list of the ways in which life kept surprising him and started considering the thorny subject of what the hell he was going to do about it. He had just persuaded himself that, under the circumstances, acting on his squishy new feelings would be an extremely unwise complication, when he was almost killed by the bug bite to end all bug bites. There was a lot of drama, a lot of pain, and a lot of wistful thinking about industrial-strength bug spray while he was recovering, but as soon as he was out of the infirmary, Rodney followed him home like a stray puppy and proceeded to get his emotions all over the furniture. "Look, I know we haven't been friends for all that long, but there's a sort of pressure cooker effect in these situations, I believe, and, well, in short, watching you die was possibly the worst moment in a life not exactly short of worst moments, so I think that my feelings for you might not be exactly as casual as I had initially assumed, and if that's going to be a problem..." Rodney looked up at John, his eyes wide and full of a distress which reached right into John's knightly tendencies and yanked hard at his shining armour. Despite it not being precisely chivalrous to respond by pinning Rodney to the bed with a full-length kiss tackle, he seemed wholly on board with the plan, joining in with enthusiasm and a skill which made John shiver in the best possible way. It turned out that unwise complications could really hit the spot. They were a month into their relationship, and just reaching the point where John was occasionally able to use actual words about his feelings, instead of performing them solely in mime and complicated facial expressions, when "Thursday night is dance night" began. It wasn't the first regularly scheduled hobby night. The pressures of life in Atlantis and the constant hovering presence of death had led most people to seek out both some form of escape and relaxation, and to have people close about them when the dark wandered over and tried to get them alone for a chat. But Thursday night is dance night was the most conspicuous and widely attended. It was also the first one that Rodney had shown the slightest interest in. John could dance. He had learned all the steps required to be graceful and accomplished in dinner dances, and the other functions which his parents had regularly attended and assumed would be equally a part of their son's life, as they had assumed rather a lot of things about John which he ended up thoroughly disappointing them in. Dance, to him, was a formal, smile-grimacing bore. So he had taken Rodney's interest in the group as an opportunity to catch up on his neglected golf practice. John had been as surprised as anyone to discover that his facetious application to make room on the packing list for clubs, on the grounds that they could double as offensive weapons in a close combat situation, had been approved, but now he was genuinely wondering if they should add one or two to the mission kit. Rodney had joined him at the game only once, grumbling through it all. He had hit the balls wildly, but so far that John had absurd images of them circling the planet and clocking them cartoon-style on the back of the head, then declared that his back was now a war zone and he wouldn't be doing that again, thank you. Though the massage that John gave him afterwards, which wandered happily downward just as soon as the knots had been dispelled, had made the whole experience worth it to both of them. Thursdays, therefore, had provided each with a useful break from each other and made Friday night, when not interrupted by emergency repairs, invasions, viruses, etc., the best night of the week. In fact, even taking into account the worst aspects of life in Pegasus, those which had a heavy death and guilt-based element to them with a topping of wraith, John figured that, with a close team, a job which mattered, and a love which wrapped around his cold spaces like a bright woollen scarf, he was probably the happiest he'd ever been in his life. Apparently, it took getting almost as far away from everything he knew as it was possible to get, to start becoming who he was meant to be. How I found myself, or the just add Rodney McKay space vampires method of self-realization. John snorted at himself, but he almost considered writing it anyway, just to see the look on Rodney's face. It was several months into their settled routine when John had a sudden wild Rodney craving, just as he was setting up the clubs, and knew that his game was going to be just one long slice if he didn't satisfy it. He only intended to drop by the dance room and stay a minute or two, enough to get his fix of blue eyes and busy hands, and that essential, indefinable Rodneyness which pulled him in like a love-struck magnet. But the dancing was a lot looser and more energetic than John remembered it, and he was drawn in despite himself, leaning against the wall at the back and swaying gently to the beat. The dance finished before he'd really registered it, but he was surprised to see that, when they chose partners for the next one, Rodney had a cue. He was even more surprised when the dance began. John didn't know why he'd assumed Rodney wouldn't be good at this, except that he was by far the least graceful person on the team and was built solid rather than fluid. John was air and Rodney was earth, practical and stubborn, with a capacity for volcanic eruption, yes, but not so much the liquid fire of a tango. Except that John should know full well what those hips were capable of. It was just that he hadn't, somehow, mapped those abilities out of the bedroom and onto less private skills. Perhaps it was this lingering association which kick-started his jealousy, like the roar of a long-neglected motorcycle. Rodney moved with Elizabeth like a lover, their bodies in sync and almost joined, a smouldering flame between them. It felt like being cheated on to music. John couldn't tear his eyes away. He watched through a waltz and a samba and some unexpected disco moves which should have been embarrassing, except that the sheer fun everyone was having made John itch to throw himself into the fray, to wave his hands in the air and not even care how many elbows he had or what they were up to. And Rodney? Rodney blazed like a comet through it all, his energy, enthusiasm and clear connection with the music transforming his normally awkward self into a thing of sheer, objective beauty. John wanted to tear every partner away from him and kiss-tackle Rodney in earnest, to claim him right there and then on the ballroom floor, hips stuttering to staying alive as every jaw around them hit the floor with a clatter. It was only really the thought of the paperwork afterwards which stopped him. Fortunately, a break was declared for water and resting, and the dancers broke off in groups to stretch and chat. Before John could decide whether to run, Rodney spotted him, and that immediate unfeigned smile of pleasure at seeing John made all of his insides clog up with affection. "Hey, come to try out a foxtrot?" "Think I'll pass, thanks. Just drop by to take a look." Rodney's smile got even more radiant and tinged with smugness as he made the correct assumption that what John wanted to look at wasn't so much the dancing per se, as one dancer in particular. He leaned back next to John and took a long, messy slurp of water in a way which laughed in the face of sexy while still, somehow, being sexy, which only reminded John of his very mixed feelings. "You looked pretty cosy there with Elizabeth and Dr. Simpson and Dr. Brown." "Yes, it's odd, really, because in the usual way of things, myself and vigorous exercise have, historically, not been the best of friends. But then, I've always had a good ear for music and perfect rhythm, so..." He shrugged, and then seemed to notice that John wasn't smiling. "You okay?"
"I'm fine."
In retrospect, maybe he shouldn't have forced that out through gritted teeth. Rodney could often be oblivious to nuance, but not that oblivious. Rodney immediately felt his forehead and went for his pulse until John battered him away. "I'm not sick, Rodney. I'm just..." He trailed off and shrugged, hoping that he wouldn't have to explain himself. It was a trick that had worked surprisingly often in the past, though it had also probably contributed to the end of his marriage, when Nancy just stopped expecting there to be more, and then stopped wanting it. But Rodney didn't let things go, and he had a brain which could make the right connections in a heartbeat if he focused it right. "John, you know that it's just dancing, right? It doesn't mean anything."
"Right, of course."
John knew that. He did. But maybe he wanted to be the one dancing with a comet, to be a comet himself, making a twin spiral of fire and sparks, setting the ballroom alight. And even if he joined the class, he couldn't do that, not with Rodney, not all open and brazen in front of everyone, like Rodney could do with every woman there. Rodney opened his mouth to say something, but Elizabeth was clapping her hands for the end of break, and Rodney was mobbed by prospective partners before he could take a breath. John didn't stay for the second half,
After all, he had a whole lot of golf balls to send viciously into the ocean. It was early, but John had been aware, long before Atlantis, of the value of getting sleep while you had the chance, so he was just taking his boots off when Rodney knocked at the door. Not a good time, Rodney. By which he meant that he hadn't had a chance to properly repress and swallow down his jealous feelings so that he could pretend to be a functioning human being. But Rodney just strode right in as though he hadn't heard. It was quite possible he actually hadn't. Rodney had a distinct talent at the art of tuning other people out when inconvenient. I brought music. Huh, you know something? Every time I come over, I forget that you've picked the smallest room in Atlantis. You realise that this is probably for children. I don't exactly need much space, Rodney, though War and Peace could maybe take up a shelf by itself. John felt jangled and disagreeable, but also, Rodney. It was hard to properly hold on to a good honest brood when he was right there, being all determined and Rodney-ish. Okay, so what dances do you know? Waltz? Square dance? That John Travolta thing with the pointing? This isn't necessary, Rodney. Look, I know it doesn't mean anything when you dance with other people. I just... John scrunched his face up, wanting to articulate himself properly, but not quite able to define what was bothering him. It was part a possessiveness he wasn't proud of and didn't want to admit to, part an aching yearning to have this thing with Rodney without hiding, part the memory of Rodney twined around other people, as if cut perfectly to fit them, and wondering if that was how it should be, whether John was being selfish in wanting to keep him at all. It's not going to be a problem, okay? Rodney crossed his arms and looked at him for a moment. Exactly. It's not going to be a problem, because I'm going to show you how I dance with someone I actually love. And then, maybe some horizontal dancing, which I assure you absolutely does not take place in the dance class, though Chuck and Miko have made certain moves which, well, let's just say that eyebrows were raised. John was still too Polaxed from the love thing to object when Rodney put on a selection of music and raised his arms. Instead, he just walked right into them and let his long-ago dance training come back to him, but with all of the formal stiffness melting away into something far better. They took turns leading, finding the steps coming naturally, even as they tried to navigate the cramped confines of John's room, almost falling over his bed a number of times. John wouldn't have minded that so much, but now that he'd started dancing, he wasn't quite ready for it to end. Rodney moved well against him, with him, but was not nearly as polished nor dramatic as he had been in the dance class. John realised, after a while, that it was because he was less focused on the music and the moves than on John himself. And then Rodney's hands moved a little lower than was strictly proper, and John felt like maybe they were fiery comets after all, comets who needed to get naked together, right the hell now. If Rodney asked later, John would claim to have accidentally tripped him onto the bed, but he doubted the question would arise. Rodney was far too busy trying to work out how to remove their clothing in the quickest way possible to the rhythms of Strauss. John shimmied and tugged in his turn with an unconscious hum, and figured that he rather liked the idea of Thursday night is dance night becoming a regular extended edition, with the last part reserved solely for two.